for that special. And I pray that Christ would be lifted high in our hearts and in this service today. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 11, the 11th proverb. Continue in our series, It's More Blessed to Give Than to Receive. And man, what a blessing. We got to experience a little bit of that at our missions conference to see the church give, to be able to give extra above and beyond to the missionaries. And there were needs that came up. One of the missionaries needed tires and was completely prepared to go and buy those. But as word spread among some in the church, the people started giving, and we had more than enough for him to buy his tires and able to give some extra to one of the other missionaries. And friends, it's a tremendous blessing to be able to give. And those men have gone on to other places. Brother Dave's home and others have gone on carrying on with their deputation while they're here and just reporting back to the churches. But all of them very soon will be back on their fields of labor. And what God was able to do here through you will be a blessing that will stick with those men. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I promise you, as we've been a blessing to those missionaries and to their families, it is fruit to your account. It's fruit to your account. God is going to bless you because of your giving, and we'll only know in heaven the impact that it'll make because you were willing to give. We want to talk about the increase of giving today, and I'd like to invite your attention to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. And when you're able, if you're able, please stand with me. Proverbs 11, 24. And we want to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to read this one verse for our text today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful, beautiful weather you've given us, for the glorious time we had in our missions conference, for those that we were able to be a blessing to. We pray for those men and their families and the fields of labor that you've called them to. And I pray that you'll continue to guide them, Lord, that they would be called of you. And Lord, that you would just guide them in that call. And as they answer that call, go where you've called them to go, do the work you've called them to do, that you'll greatly bless. Father, I thank you for this church, for the heart that they have, for the word of God. The heart that they have for men of God who stand to preach the word of God, and for these missionaries. And I just pray that you will always let this church have that heart. And Lord, help us to grow in our love for you, our love for one another. And Lord, as we consider giving today, I pray that you would help us to grow in our faith and trust you to give more. Please help me now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing. Verse 24. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. It's counterintuitive that you could give and you'll get more. By giving, you would increase. It's counterintuitive to our way of thinking, especially when it comes to finances, but it's absolutely true. When we give liberally, when we give by scattering what God has blessed us with, you will have increase. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." In other words, the heart and the action that you put in your giving, it's going to be given back to you. Now, I want to say this from the outset, just so you don't misunderstand anything today. I need to say this before you go to sleep, okay? I'm not preaching that you ought to give so that you can get. If you give with the heart, "I'm going to give just because I know I'll get," then it won't work. It doesn't work that way. God knows your heart. But when you give out of a heart of gratitude for what God has done, when you give to further the work of God, when you give for the glory of God, and you give liberally, God will bless you liberally. Amen? All right. Now, that's not to say it's time to go to sleep now. I just want to make sure that Some of you get that before then. Before then. A lot of people have a hard time with giving, and I may have told you before about the preacher who went to one of the farmers who was in his church, and he said, Joe, if you had 100 cows, would you give 50 of them to the Lord? He said, you know, I would. If I had 100, I'd give 50 of them to the Lord. He said, well, if you had 1,000 chickens, would you give 500? He said, you know, I believe I would. If I had 1,000 chickens, I'd give 500 of them to the Lord. He said, well, what if you had 2 hogs? Would you give one of them to the Lord? He said, now, preacher, that ain't fair. You know I've got 2 hogs. See, a lot of us are willing to give in our mind the things that we don't have. We're willing to give in our mind the things that we don't have, but we're unwilling to give in reality the things that we do have. I want to help you out. If you won't give out of the little God has given you, you'll never get a lot to give. Not going to happen. If we're not faithful in that which is least, we won't be faithful with much, and God knows that. And God knows that. He sees our heart. He knows how we are. And see, faith is really the key when it comes to giving. We give because we really believe God. We believe that the work of God is more important than anything else on this planet. We believe the word of God, that God will keep his promise. When we scatter, we'll increase. When we give, it will be given again. We believe that God will provide, that he is able. He's able to give us all sufficiency in all things at all times. And we believe that, therefore, we're willing to give. I want to talk to you about the fact that we have this increase of giving, but let me start by saying that giving is a matter of opportunity, not of obligation. Giving is a matter of opportunity, not of obligation. We've seen the last couple of weeks where the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver. We're not to give grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, you shouldn't give because you have to. It's not out of obligation. God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to understand that giving is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. I thank God that we were able to give a little bit to help the missionaries this week, and we had that special offering that we took up and divided it up, and those men were able to be very blessed. And I want to tell you, their reaction was exactly what you'd hope. They were overjoyed with how generous the church was to them. And I thank God for that. And I rejoice to be able to have some small part in that, to know that what we were able to give above and beyond to the missionaries, that they are able to take that and use that in the work of the Lord. It's an opportunity to be involved. It's an opportunity. I want you to know that when you give your tithes and offerings to the church, it's an opportunity to be involved. It's an opportunity that we can buy gas to put in the vans to pick up these kids to preach the gospel to them. It's an opportunity that we can load them up and take them to camp where we see many saved. It's an opportunity, hey, how about this, just to pay the bills, to keep the lights on, to have heating and air conditioning to fight over. Some of you are hot, some of you are cold, and a couple of us are happy with just the way it is. My porridge is just right this morning. When we give, it's an opportunity to be involved in the work of the Lord right here. We take those givings, we take care of the bills and all the other things. We buy groceries to feed the kids and everybody else on Wednesday night. We do all these different things. We have these gospel tracts printed up. And I want you to know that these are... sometimes they can be expensive. When you buy thousands of tracts, it can be expensive. Guess what? That's not an expense. It's an investment. We invest in these. Why? Because every time we hand one to someone, we're giving them the gospel. Every time we leave it in their door, every time you leave it, hand it to the person at the drive-thru, at the grocery station or the grocery store, you leave one laying around somewhere. It's an opportunity. It's an investment. You see, giving is an opportunity. It's not an obligation. And if you're giving because you feel like you have to, God's not going to be impressed with that. In verse 24, he said, there is that scatter it. There are those who take what God's given them. They take the seeds God's given them. They scatter. They take the increase God's given them. And they give it away bountifully, liberally. They give it away. And there are those that withhold more than is meet. In other words, they hold back more than they need, but it tends to poverty. And that's counterintuitive, because we figure if you get so much and you need so much and you keep a little extra, then you're going to be better off, right? If you just keep hoarding it and hoarding it and hoarding it, sooner or later you're going to have a whole bunch. But somehow it tends to poverty. It tends to poverty. Would you hold your place here in Proverbs and look with me to Haggai chapter 1? Haggai chapter 1. In verse 2. We don't spend a lot of time in Haggai. I'll give you a second. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Anybody ever feel like that? I think my bank account has a leak. As fast as you put money in it, it drains back out. You're earning money. You're doing these things. Why? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. You see it? Listen, those people, God's house was laid waste, and they were really concerned about building their houses. They were really concerned about having their things, but they had no concern for the house of God. They had no concern for the worship of God. They had no concern for the things of God. And God said, you're going to keep working. You're going to keep putting it in bags with holes. You're going to keep gathering in, and I'm going to blow upon it. In other words, God said, I'm going to waste everything that you think you have. Until you give to me, I will not bless you. You see, they robbed God, and by robbing God, they robbed themselves. They thought they were going to save, because I'm not spending it on the Lord. I'm not giving it to the Lord. I'm not wasting it on the house of God. Therefore, I'll have it for myself. And God says, no, no. If you're not going to give it, you're not going to keep it either. I heard a pastor say one time that the tithe is the Lord's. And we're going to talk about that a little more in a little bit. But we don't give tithes. We pay tithes. The tithe is the Lord's. You haven't even started to give until you've given God what's his. And I heard a preacher say one time that you can't spend God's tithe. What he said was this: you can't spend God's tithe, because if you don't pay it to him, he'll take it somewhere else. He may take it in your car breaking down. I heard about one pastor, they were on their way to see somebody in the hospital, and they said, what's wrong with that fella anyway? He said, well, God's taking his tithe out. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't know whether every financial calamity comes your way is because you're not giving God what's his, but I'll say this, I'm not willing to risk it. I'd rather pay my tithes and give my offerings and give God what he deserves, and by the grace of God, give more than is required. I'd rather give with the heart of gratitude. It's an opportunity, not an obligation. When we give, it's an opportunity, and when we give, we ought to be open-hearted and open-handed. Open-hearted and open-handed. We pay by giving the tithe, but we prove our love by giving offerings. And let me just show you how we ought to give, the heart behind it, and then we'll talk about some of the details, the how-tos, the nuts and bolts real quick. But first of all, notice in our text, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Now there in Proverbs 11, if you go on in verse 25 through 31, I want you to notice the difference between these hearts. The one who scatters and the one who withholds. Verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, here in 2019, we don't consider being fat a good thing, but in biblical days, it was a great thing. It meant you had an abundance. It meant that God had blessed you greatly. It meant that you had more than you needed and you had more to give away because God had blessed you. So don't look at this verse through our vernacular, our modern terminology. This was a great thing. This meant that God had blessed you. So the liberal soul. Now, it's also important that we understand what it means by liberal here. Liberal means something different in the world today. And in this text, we're not talking about liberal politically. We're not talking about being liberal politically. Okay? We're talking about being liberal in our giving. It means to give a lot. I don't know. We've talked about it before, but it helps me. Sometimes if you get some medicine, some kind of ointment for your eye or something, it may say to use sparingly. That means you got to put that ointment in your eye. You just use a little bit, a dabble, do you? Other times the doctor will give you some kind of medication, some kind of ointment. It'll say apply liberally. That means you really lay it on thick, right? And when we're talking about the liberal soul, we're talking about someone who scatters, someone who gives, someone who is very, very generous. And God wants us to be very generous. The liberal soul shall be made fat. On the other, and he continues, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that watereth, this is somebody who provides to give to the needs of others. It literally means someone who slakes the thirst of another. In other words, we ought to be like Gatorade. We ought to be thirst quenchers. When we see a need, we're willing to meet that need. We have a heart that says they're thirsty. Maybe it's literally they're thirsty. Literally they're hungry, but maybe it's something else. There's some other need. They need help paying their hospital bill, or they need help buying tires for their car, or whatever it is. We see a need, and we want to meet that need. And when we water, when we meet that need, then God will meet our needs as well. In verse 26, we see the withholder. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now listen, it's not always this thing of just giving, but sometimes, especially in that society, you had corn and there were those who would hold it. They wouldn't sell it. They wouldn't help other people. But we need to be the ones who are willing to help however it is. And by the way, it's not always wrong to sell something instead of giving it away. Sometimes it helps someone more by selling to them. It puts them in a position to help themselves. Yeah, but it's something our society doesn't understand today. By the way, I don't think God ever wanted Christians to be socialist. If you don't work, you don't eat. We want to help those that are in need, but we don't want to make people dependent on everyone else. People can work. They can make their own way. But what's wrong is when you hold back and you're not willing to help, either by giving or by selling, to help someone help themselves. The heart is to help other people. It's an open heart and an open hand. Verse 27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Listen, if you're looking to do what's right, God's going to bless you. You're going to get grace and favor in your life. But if you're looking for trouble, you'll find it. Verse 28, he that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. If you're going to trust in your money, if you think by holding on to it, you're going to be taken care of, you're going to fall. Remember the parable of the rich man who gained a lot? He said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger and I'll put all my stuff in there. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this day, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Trust in your riches is not going to get you anywhere. But when you do what's right, you'll flourish as a branch. Do what's right, and God will bless you. Verse 29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. See, in this matter of giving, it's not just writing a check and putting it in the plate. This is about having a right heart and doing the right things for the right reasons. Not stirring up trouble, but just trying to do what's right. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I contend with you today that in the matter of giving, it does now and always has come back to the matter of the gospel. When it comes to giving, it always comes back to the gospel. Because listen to me, friend, if you see somebody on the side of the road broke down and you stop and help them change their tire, or maybe they run out of gas and you go and buy them 5 gallons of gas, or maybe you take them and you fill their tank up, but you don't give them the gospel, you've done them no good. We can give, but if the gospel's not involved, it does them no good. Listen, people come to the church all the time wanting help. Listen, our electric's about to get turned off. Can you help us? And sometimes the deacons and I, we discuss those things. We pray about those things. We try to be led of God in those decisions. But I want to tell you this. I don't know of anybody who's come to this church in the last 5+ years looking for help with anything, and they didn't get the gospel. What good's it going to do them if we don't give them the gospel? We bought their gas so they could go on their road, on their journey, but we didn't give them the gospel. Have we done them any good? It's the dead of winter and it's freezing cold and we got their electric turned on, or we bought them some gas so they could have heat in their home, but we didn't give them the gospel. Have we done them any good? Friends, it's always tied back to the gospel. The righteous have an open heart and an open hand, and there's nothing we should be more freely giving than the word of God. Does it not? Did you miss that? It's he that scattereth. Who scatters? The sower went forth to sow. And what did he do? He scattered the seed everywhere. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to be liberal, generous in giving our time and talents and treasures. We need to be generous and liberal in giving the gospel to those who are lost. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We can't save anyone, but we can win souls to Christ. We can give them the gospel and bring them to Jesus. Behold, the righteous, verse 31, shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. I want you to get this. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. In other words, that when you do right, when you give right, when you give with the right heart, you'll be recompensed in the earth. I believe the Lord's telling us that not only am I going to bless you in heaven, but I'll bless you right now. When you do what's right now, you'll be blessed now. You see that? But notice the warning. Much more the wicked and the sinner. God's going to pay you back. He's going to reward you for your generosity here and now and in eternity. But he's going to reward the wicked and the sinner much more. And that ought to be a terrifying thought. Judgment's going to come. God gives these open blessings from heaven, and we have an opportunity. It's not an obligation. We ought to be open-hearted and open-handed, and I want you to see why. Because with a closed hand, nothing gets out or in. But with an open hand, we give, and with an open hand, we receive. The same thing's true for your heart. If your heart's closed up, you can't show love and you can't receive love. You can't be a blessing and you can't get a blessing. But when your heart is open, then you can give and also God can pour back in. When your hand is open, you can give and God can fill it back up again. So how do we go about giving? I mentioned a little while ago that we ought to pay God his tithes. I've been criticized before and questioned about this idea of tithing in the New Testament and whether tithing is something that applies to us today. Tithe is just a word that means the tenth part. It's one tenth. And I want you to notice a few things with me. In Leviticus 27 and verse 30, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. That's why we don't give our tithes, we pay our tithes. It belongs to him. And I think there is a great truth to the fact that if you don't pay it, God will get it some other way. We ought to pay our tithes. And you say, well, preacher, that's Leviticus. That's the law. We're not under the law anymore. Well, I'd invite your attention then to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. The word of God says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, that is Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. You see, when Abraham rescued his nephew and they brought back all the spoils, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek because he was the priest of the Most High God. He honored God with that tithe, with the tenth part. And friends, this was before the law. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe has always been the Lord's, and I don't see any reason to think that it's not the Lord's anymore. We see this commended in Hebrews chapter 7. It talks about that, that Jesus Christ, Melchizedek, was a type or a picture of Jesus Christ. It lifts this up as a great example for us in the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. I doubt tithing and giving has ever been preached on that we haven't looked to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And friends, when you give, when you pay your tithes and you give your offerings, God is going to bless you more than you can imagine. And when you withhold it, God's going to judge you. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, the Lord said to the scribes and Pharisees, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Listen, he says to them, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Listen, Jesus says to them, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You see, the Lord never said you shouldn't give your tithes. He said, you give your tithes, that's great, that's outward, but it doesn't matter if your heart's not right. If you're ignoring the law and judgment and mercy, he said, you need to get your heart right and then give your tithe. Do you see it? And the same thing is true for us today. We pay our tithes and we give our offerings. Exodus 25:2 says, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. You know, there are people who would say they can't afford to give. I read about a man, a pastor named Kuykendall, was pastor in Texas. When H.Z. Duke, founder of Duke and Ayers Nickel Stores, asked if he believed in tithing, to which he replied that he did. Mr. Duke asked him then if he practiced tithing, and he said, No, I believe in tithing, but I can't do it. You see, I've got 13 children. Every meal, 15 of us sit down at the table. He said, I only bring in $125 a month, $1,500 a year as salary, and I have to maintain my own horse and buggy for travel. It would be impossible for me to take care of the needs of my family and tithe at the same time. Mr. Duke said, I want you to set out to give God at least $12.50 every month as soon as you get your salary. Then as you feel led, you give more. But I promise, if you need help, I'll give it. And so he did for a year. He got his salary, he paid his tithe. He got his salary and he paid his tithe. And I want you to know that never, not once, did he have to ask for help. God provided. He said at the end, I had taken the word of a man when I had not taken the promise of God. Now I had proven God's promises and found that he took care of me and my big family on a small salary. I found that $112.50 per month took care of our family better with God's blessings than $125 did without being under the blessing of the covenant of God. Countless stories could be given of those who have proved God. And I want to tell you, dear friend, that God will bless you. It's an opportunity, not an obligation. We ought to give with open hearts and with open hands. I want you to know today that we give through the church. 1 Corinthians 16 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." The church is the storehouse. We bring all the tithes into the storehouse, all the offerings into the storehouse. That is the local New Testament church. And we give to the Lord through the church, and God promises to bless. Now, I want to say that we need to not just give occasionally, but we need to give consistently. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." As God prospers you, as God blesses you, you give. He gives the increase, and you give back to him out of that increase. And we need to think about how we give. We got to pray about it. You see, one of the reasons I've been questioned about this matter of tithing in the New Testament is this. Some people's heart is tithing is not near enough, and I would agree with that. But I would say this, for the new Christian, the newer person in the church, tithing is a great place to start. And you haven't really started until you pay your tithes. And once you start paying your tithes, I promise God's going to bless you, and you're going to find opportunity to give more. You say, "Lord, I want to give more than 10%. I want to give 15%. I'm going to give 20%. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us that we could give to the building project, to the building fund. Lord, I pray that you'd help us that we could give more to the missions fund. And I promise if you'll start with the tithe, God will bless you, and you'll find yourself able to give more than you can imagine." But I know some of you are probably like the guy I read about and don't know what you think about all this giving preaching. Let me give you two things. I want to tell you a story, but before that I want to tell you this. If you don't believe me and you don't believe the Bible, I found that people who don't believe me and don't believe the Bible tend to believe mental health experts. So how about this? Carl Minniger of the Minniger Institute published a report stating that generous people are happy people. He also said that giving is a criteria for good mental health. I don't know about you. I've known a lot of people who were generous. I've known a lot of people who are depressed. But I don't know that I've known any generous people who were depressed. Maybe I have, and you can come tell me later. Maybe after this message, you're all depressed. I don't know. I know this. As a young Christian, I didn't know anything about tithing and offering and giving. But I thank God for men who were willing to preach and teach messages like this, and I learned to give. And when I learned to give, God dramatically changed the finances in my life. Dramatically changed the finances in my life. And I praise God. And I just, listen, you don't believe me, that's fine. Believe God. He says, "Prove me. Just try me. Try me. Give. Give more than you can give, and I will bless you. And God will bless you in ways that you can't imagine. If you'll have enough faith to give." Let me close with this as our musicians come. Because some of you might identify with this fellow. There was a guy, he was a preacher. His heart was just on fire for missionary zeal. And he kept calling the church to give to missions. And he told them in the morning, "We're going to take up a special offering for missions." And he challenged the church to give liberally, to give sacrificially, to dig deep and to give more than you could to the work of missions. But there was a guy in the church, he was kind of selfish. He was a well-to-do kind of fella. And he went to the preacher before the evening service and he said, "Preacher, you're going to kill the church if you keep on saying give, give, give. No church can stand it. You're going to kill it." After the sermon, the preacher said to the people, "Brother Jones told me I'm going to kill the church if I keep asking you to give. But my brethren, churches don't die that way. If anybody knows of a church that died because it had been giving too much to the Lord, I would be very much obliged if my brother would tell me where that church is. For I will visit it and climb on the walls of that church under the light of the moon and say, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. You're not going to die by giving. The church is not going to die by giving. See, it may not make sense to you, but listen to me. The more we give as a church, the more we'll thrive. The more we scatter, the more we'll increase. The more we give, the more it will be given, and we'll have more to give. And that's the heart that God has in giving. We give out of gratitude for what He has done. We give to give Him honor and glory for what He has given to us. And we give to grow in the work of the Lord, to see this church grow, to see our families grow in faith, to see the work of the Lord grow and fruit to be grown all around the world because we are willing to give. Let's stand together. We're going to sing what number? Number 544. While we get ready to sing this song, I want to tell you today that all of this giving is only possible because God gave His only begotten Son. All this giving, it doesn't matter. You can give all the money you have and it won't matter if you've never repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. He gave. That's why we give, because He gave Christ. I want you to know today, listen, if you know in your heart you've never been born again, know this. Jesus gave everything so you could be saved. If you'll turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, He'll give you everlasting life. You can be saved right now today. And that, friends, that's got to be first. Before any other giving, we've got to give our hearts to Christ. If He's convicting your heart today about anything, being saved, being baptized, giving your tithes and offerings, whatever it is, you come while we sing.